Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. Our guest today is Deepak Karwal. Deepak is a veteran in the automation space and has led multiple intelligent automation initiatives across industries. He is the author of the book, The Automated Enterprise: Digital Reinvention Through Intelligent Automation. In this chat, we talk about how to bridge the gap between automation and digital transformation through digitization, digitalization, and transformation. Let's listen in. Hi, Deepak. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. Can we start with a quick intro?
Yeah, hi. My name's Deepak. I'm a automation specialist. I guess I've spent the last 15 or so years working in the automation space, working across industry sectors. And most recently, over the last years, I published a book called The Automated Enterprise, which is really about, you know, digital reinvention through intelligent automation.
That's awesome. Yeah, I did go through the Automated Enterprise book. It's really awesome, recommended by our club members. So I just went through it and discovered many insights. So that's something we'll talk about today. So can we start, though, with understanding what was your motivation in writing this book?
Well, I guess, first of all, yeah, there's obviously, you know, a large amount of experience in terms of building or helping organizations to build their automation capabilities that I've been fortunate to have been involved in, and especially cross-sector. I think that's quite important because, you know, how FS do it, for example, is probably different in a certain way to how an FMCG customer might do it. So I think using that experience across industries to really, A, you know, build a model in terms of building a practice that you can mature in terms of intelligent automation capability. So I think a very hands-on, practical piece of knowledge sharing was the first driver. I think the second driver, which was pretty critical as well, it was bridging the gap around digital transformation and automation. So as I'm sure you're aware, that there's a lot of talk and a lot of knowledge being shared around in terms of, you know, what is digital transformation, how do we get there, but then also in parallel automation. But I felt that actually there was very little real bridging that was happening in terms of how do you use automation to actually drive or support your digital transformation program. So once again, part of the impetus to the book was to help, you know, bridge that and help drive some methodologies and some approaches that really would allow organizations to either help them start or accelerate their digital transformation roadmap, you know, using automation as a lever.
Interesting, that's excellent. And, you know, many people do automation as a starting point for digital transformation or digital itself. People start in different ways. And I think the concern is a common definition for digital transformation. So as per you, what's a digital transformation?
That's a really good question. I think I'd caveat it, first of all, in terms of there is no unique definition, right? I think the fact that people are always saying it in different ways. I mean, I guess in my head, it's really about, you know, a business. If fundamentally, I guess that is that word transform, which is important, right? It's not about an organization doing business as usual. It's leveraging the power of digital, you know, which allows organizations to operate differently at scale, at volume, in different geographies, using the power of digital, but actually using that and leveraging that to do something different, to fundamentally change their business model. That obviously doesn't happen overnight, right? So as we know, so that evolution is pretty important. I think that's tightly related to automation. It's the fact that you can do something different. It's less impactful first, but actually you can slowly get digitally savvy and then use that to fundamentally change your business model. And so for me, that's what digital transformation allows you to do.
That's a very good definition, I think. And I like what you said about digital evolution. So, you know, digitally evolving and doing things fundamentally different and transforming yourself. Right? So you did talk about that bridge between automation and transformation. So what's that bridge?
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, it's not unknown in terms of the typical steps towards transformation. You know, you've got digitization, you've got, not to be confused, digitalization, and then you've got transformation. So you've almost got those three steps before you look at transforming a business. What I try to do actually is look at it in the lens of automation. I mean, digitization is fantastic, but really all it is, it's replicating what you're doing currently, but digitizing it. I mean, a great example, right, is music, okay? So we know that obviously over the last 10 years, we've moved from, you know, CD players to MP3s, but you know, moving from record to CD, all we've done is digitized music. That's great, and it's been really powerful, but actually all you've really done is digitized it. You've got an argument that actually RPA, all you're really doing in some of these technologies is you're digitizing the human steps. You're not changing them, but you're capturing them in a different format. And so once again, you've got that analogy there between, you know, digitization and automation. You know, digitalization, which is the next step, it's really then using the power of digital to try and change that business process. And using that very similar analogy, right, with music, that's when you started to get, you know, on store online, where you could start, you know, downloading MP3s and start doing something slightly different. The next step moving away from that is really where you start transforming the business. And a great example of that is Apple Music. So suddenly now you've got digitalized music, you know, you've got the ability now to fundamentally change your business model, change it to pay-per-use, start using AI algorithms to give people preferences. So you've got that step. But as I said, through an automation perspective, once again, you can use automation to capture the steps, but are you really changing the business process? You know, there are a complementary of tools that are now emerging in the automation space beyond RPA, which then allow you to start optimizing the business process. And you're not just digitizing it, you are digitalizing it. And then obviously you can got a step then towards transformation, where you can specifically look at the business process in a different way and look at transforming it fundamentally. So I think those synergies are strong, but they're very coherent, they're very much there. And it's a very practical approach that organizations could apply to their organization, right, ultimately.
I like the way you're describing a path for the organization to move, right? When you talk about butterfly, when you talk about transformation, you think of a butterfly, like a small, like a worm is actually transforming one by one from one stage to another stage to another stage. And each stage, moving from one stage to the other, is not part, you know, I think each of those stages are required, right? And what do you think about that? Is digitization a foundation for transformation?
It's required, and I think it's required for a few reasons which might be nuanced, right? It's required because it's not just technology. There are also people that you're bringing along with the journey, and you don't suddenly move to becoming equally disruptive as a digital native, you know, because the people have to go through a learning curve, and the people have to learn how to adapt, and you need to build the right culture. So that's why I think there is a learning. And back to your point, there is obviously a maturity around technology. I think RPA has been a great gateway to automation, but now it's allowed people to start absorbing things like process mining and NLP and all these other technologies, purely because they've started to understand how RPA can be that gateway, but you can start adding other levels of automation over and above and beyond. So I think starting off with a, if you like, a lower level of maturity allows you to build that confidence, but then also build the capability in the people along with part of that journey, right? That's why it's important, I think.
And I think we need to be cognizant of the situation. For a legacy enterprise, they are already a business which is happening day to day. I think they need to first take that baby steps in terms of digitization before they move to, you know, change it. But having said that, even during the digitization phase, it's not that, you know, tools like RPA or any other tool that we need to go with what's already there. You can make some changes and then digitize. And then as you go to the next stage, you can do it further. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it really does. And I think that's where technical debt is an important part of the conversation, right? Because it might be on an end-to-end process. Guess what? You know, you've started to look at how you can automate the simple parts of that process, in which case things like RPA are fantastic and great. But actually, you also set the expectation that as you start to look to digitalize and transform the process, there may be rework required. Okay. You might look at removing a piece of RPA, for example, in a business process and building an API. But in the short term, it's delivered enough benefit so you can carry on in terms of that transformation program. So I think back to your point, you know, we'd love to be in a position where you could simply accelerate directly to transforming, but that's not the case, right? And back to your point, the key thing is that with traditional organizations, there's a legacy to work with. Okay. And, you know, you've still got no doubt a share price to maintain, customers to keep happy. So you've still got to keep on with the core business as well as transforming in the background. But there's a great opportunity there. I mean, obviously, digitally native organizations, they're able to start in a different way. But, you know, existing organizations, they've no doubt typically got a huge resource pool. You know, they've got a lot more resources than smaller organizations could potentially, you know, ideally have. So you've got that ability that you can use those additional resources to drive a much, much quicker path, right?
Yeah, quicker path, again, you know, if I was a CEO of, you know, one of these legacy companies, it's difficult for me to, you know, just pull out things and then say that, okay, let me bring in new things, because it is a very complex environment. Every organization is a complex system that has built up over a period of years. As you disrupt that, you never know what could happen. So it has to be a process where you are going through that in terms of not disrupting what is happening and putting in things so that you can enable, you know, your digital journey. And so, you know, I think in that sense, that's the reason that RPA and that kind of tools resonate, is because, and I keep saying that, you know, it's a feature, because it doesn't disrupt what you're doing and you can enable what you're calling as digitization. And I think that's a journey for a legacy enterprise to take as they move to the digital transformation.
Yeah. And it's a fair point, right? I mean, you know, most of the complexity that you know, that a lot of these larger organizations have, it's not the fact that they were, that complexity was designed from the outset, because, you know, the organization has grown. It's grown. It's probably been merged or maybe acquired, and the other processes have been added on top. And there's a few tactical things that were done because of X, Y, and Z. And as a result of that, you've got a very complex end-to-end business process. I think the key thing is, us as practitioners, we don't have to be too aligned to that. We can step back and actually look at it from a pure business process perspective in terms of optimizing that, but then also looking at it from a growth perspective.
So as you work with multiple customers in across industries, you know, you're seeing automation being applied. So where have you seen it work best? What's some examples of like digitization and digitalization? I don't know if you've seen somebody transform, but you know, do you have like an example of?
Yeah, I mean, digitization, that's always an interesting one, right? Where you can apply something like pure RPA to a business process. I mean, if I you know, recall, finance is always a great example, you know, where you've got, you know, an end-to-end financial process like P2P or acquire to pay example. And, you know, typically, you know, the organization, for example, I mean, one example that we had with a customer where, from an asset perspective, they were never able to underwrite all the assets in the organization because it was simply too complex. Okay. Bought in a technology like RPA, and suddenly, guess what? All the assets in the organization could suddenly be allocated for. Okay. That was great because you could never do that manually. The problem was you had people down the process, okay, that were then taking that information and then processing it further. So you started off automation at the beginning of the process, and then it almost built its own path in terms of when the way you start following on automation down the line. Okay. And then you can look at it from a digitalization perspective and then start making wider process improvements end to end. And what that meant ultimately as an organization, they could underwrite a lot more of the assets they had, which they originally couldn't do. But as I said, you end up with it was a very incremental automation approach to business process, which from a change perspective, once again, we've always got to have in the back of your mind, because ideally you'd always like to, in some cases, look at a pure business process end to end. But sometimes purely from a change perspective, back to what you talked about earlier, it's simply not viable as a business. You've got to demonstrate some level of benefit, get buy-in from the business before you get the approval and the confidence in the organization to then start moving and hitting other parts of the business process that might be more complex, but hopefully drive more benefit.
Yeah, and so you have a framework to check the value as you progress through this journey, right?
Yeah, I think once again, in terms of the book was aimed at being quite a practical guide. And, you know, you know, in terms of my experience, once again, it was clear that you could almost look at a number of different levers that you could use to almost map your maturity of your automation capability. You need a starting point, because what that means is if you've got a starting point, you can benchmark something, you can then track how your automation capability is progressing. I think that there's a number of different levers, and I won't pull them all out, but you've obviously got, you know, the enterprise scale that you're working at the moment as an automation capability. Are you simply just building automations or point solutions for a specific team or a specific function? Or actually, do you have the remit to go out wider across the organization? And you're starting to do more end-to-end, you know, capability or automation improvements. Almost on the other side, or right at the extreme, are you almost looking at a pure end-to-end where you're looking at an organization, but then also looking at their suppliers, right? So you can even extend the business process further. So you've got a lever around that. You will have a lever around cognitive technical scope is what I called it. But that's really, once again, the technology tool sets that you're starting to use. You know, on one extreme, you have got tools like RPA, where you are looking at the more simple processes. But then as you move across that lever spectrum is where you start using things like maybe process mining, maybe tools like NLP, or you're starting to use more AI-led technologies and tool sets. Okay. So once again, the maturity of your capability, you know, allows you to move across. And it's almost, as you could imagine in your head, as you move across the enterprise scale, in order to deal with those bigger problems, you almost need to move across the technology scale. Otherwise, you can't solve those problems. So there is a relationship there, right? The other interesting levers that are in the framework of the book is you've got the speed to deliver and the value that you're delivering. Because ultimately, what you'd expect is as you move across to delivering more enterprise-wide, using more, you know, complex technologies, that you're taking longer to deliver those projects. But ultimately, you want to try and, back to your point, you want to build that capability so it doesn't eat as much in terms of the delivery time scale, but you are hitting the bigger value items. So you've got that, you know, a framework which allows you to benchmark where you are as an organization now in terms of an automation capability, but then use it to see, okay, in year one, we want to be at this point, in year two, we want to be at this point. And I think it's proved to be quite a useful model to allow that benchmarking to happen.
Yeah, and as you progress, I think to throw one more span in that plan is that the technology is also evolving very rapidly. As you can see now, AI, and let's say ChatGPT, within like a few months, been mind-boggling how much they have improved, right? So yeah. I think one question there is, how do enterprises consider that also as they plan their journey? It's nice to have this journey out there and map it out. And how do we consider a new technology that comes and then, you know, completely change? So, you know, how do we take that into consideration?
Well, I think first of all, you know, you mentioned that question earlier about transformation, but once again, a key marker, you know, in my head, in terms of an organization that is digitally transformative or can be, is the fact that you've got the culture where you can adapt to new technologies, right? So the fact that you might have started off with RPA and you've moved to NLP or supporting chatbots and process mining and everything else, you would hope that means you're also building a level of adaptability in the teams where you can more better and quickly assimilate new technologies and take them out to market quicker and apply them to use cases better, because you've got a greater understanding of the use cases where they can be useful. So I think that's probably, for me, that's more of a people and culture thing. It's building that, it's almost using the automation center of excellence maturity to be able to drive an adaptability or technology adaptability capability, you know, which is so powerful. Because as you said earlier, you can't predict what's going to happen in terms of new technology moving around. But if you built a capability and you've built a team that can rapidly assimilate new technologies and start applying them, that's the best that you can do, right? And that in itself is really powerful.
Yeah, it's about the culture and it's about the people, right? So I think when we are digitizing, actually what we are doing is creating that, as you say, capability. To me, it's more about, as we spoke about before the podcast, is digital literacy. You know, people knowing what's digitally out there, when some people picking up and saying that, yes, I can do this automation, you know, this looks very interesting to me, let me upskill and start doing this automation. It can no more be a silo of people saying that, okay, here is your journey, we will digitalize and we'll transform. But it's more about, come on, let's all come together and then let's understand what technology is. And then, you know, let's develop that capability of understanding how the technology is evolving. Let's learn it a bit. Let's digitize first. And then, yes, let's get on this journey. But remember that, you know, it's we'll have to change course at times. But it's, again, at the end of the day, the biggest transformation we are doing is in terms of the culture and the people. So we are laying the foundation for that journey. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even if you line that to a technology perspective, I mean, before, 5, 6, 10 years ago, you could say the technology was restrictive around that. Now you have got most of the platforms are low code, right? Mm-hmm. They are starting to become available. So actually you don't need a hard code developer to build, you know, look at building, you know, a decision path flow or looking at building an RPA bot. So actually the technology started to become more and more, if you like, humanified. So actually people or citizens, if you like to call them, across the organization can have access to it. I think that's the key thing. I think the challenge is always the integration points. You know, in my book, I guess one sort of, you know, in terms of thinking about all these different point technologies and the fact that you're trying to build these solutions that integrate them all, I guess the term I came up with was intelligent automation plasticity. Okay, because yeah. It's almost very much how the brain works, right? Where you've got these neural networks of different technologies, and only when you start using a specific combination of technologies, okay, for a specific use case, does it build that neural pathway, okay? And it almost reinforces itself. And then as other technologies come across, they may build more stronger pathways for that particular use case. So the element of plasticity is going to be there, right? Where actually it can always configure itself. But part of that point is there's the fact that you need humans to help almost add the oil to the plasticity.
First of all, I love that plasticity. You know, what is that? Intelligent automation plasticity, is it?
Yeah.
But what about that plasticity or, you know, the flexibility that the intelligent automation brings? I think I love that concept. And, you know, Forrester calls it the automation fabric, basically.
So yeah.
It's a combination of technologies which is coming in so that you can enable this whole data, whether it's a legacy data or unstructured data, whether it is, you know, even new data, which is like a web application or even mobile apps, take that data wherever it is and then expose it out so that, you know, you can create better people experience, whether it is a customer or it's an employee or it's a vendor, whether they are accessing it through an AR VR headset or through a, you know, web page or a portal or any of these things, even a chatbot, right? So I think, you know, that that's what I love about it is that, you know, I think, and as we spoke earlier, I think we are creating that framework. And you spoke about technology, and I think it's people led. So it's people plus technology, you know, developing that plasticity so that we can evolve digitally. I mean, because
Yeah. I think for me, the important plasticity is the fact that it's not hard coded. Back to your point, there's always a new technology set that's going to come in, which is going to almost change the fabric, if you like, which is, as I said, very much how the human brain works, because you're always reconfiguring then in terms of what's the best way to do something. And that's, once again, as we've always said, that is that ability to keep transforming, to keep changing, which is fundamentally at the heart of any digital transformation. It's building the capability to change. You know, and not necessarily at that point in time, knowing how you need to change.
And so building that capability to change in terms of people and technology, right? Yes. So that, you know, you can keep evolving as an organization. And I think, as I spoke earlier, you know, it's people learning. And so I call it digital literacy. And then the organization evolving because the people have that capability. It is a digital evolution. And then it leads to digital transformation. So you've seen multiple organizations evolve along this path from digitization to transformation in terms of automation. What do you think would be what we'll see in the next few years?
I think what's really interesting is obviously over the last 7 or 8 years, I think there's almost been a fascination of automation. And I'll say automation in the purest sense in terms of, you know, an obsession of taking humans out of the loop, you know, pure automation. Actually, I think what we will see over the next few years is almost the bounce back, where actually there's not this obsession of taking humans out, but actually how do we enable humans? Okay. So you know, all the routine, mundane parts of a business process, we know that we can automate that. And most organizations would have done that now, or that they're in the process of doing that over the next few years. So the question then is, how do you best support your customers by enabling the employees that you've got? And I think this is really where some powerful technologies like intelligent decisioning can come about, because what you're able to do then is both use, you know, automation in its purer sense, but then start augmenting your people with technology and specifically with AI to start driving augmented automation, if you like. And I think that's where it gets interesting, because even if you look at any end-to-end business process, I think what most organizations have found, actually, it's really difficult to fully automate something end-to-end. And I think you're always going to have more business processes where you still need people rather than not. And that might be for, you know, reasons of customer, you know, in terms of people still wanting to speak to people. It might be reasons around regulatory, right? We still know AI is having, you know, a significant amount of, I guess, challenge, rightly so, in terms of regulatory and compliance, in terms of AI making decisions. So I think it's moving more and more towards, as well as automating in the purest sense, how do we start augmenting our employees so they can make the best decisions and support the business? I think that's going to be the key theme over the next few years, without a doubt.
Yeah, and that's a great part, because I think, you know, as we do automation more and more, we do realize that it's an asymptotic problem. Like, you know, whether you take document processing or autonomous cars, you know, you can get to 99% and then, you know, not get to 100%, you know, because it's something where the world is changing, things are changing, and, you know, the goalpost keeps changing. And so probably you'll not get to 100%, but even if you are at 80%, there's a lot of value in using that.
And if you have got this race towards, you know, purest automation where you are, you know, removing the people, then at some point, where does the differentiator lie in each organization? You know, where's the value differentiator? I mean, you know, a classic experience that most people have, and I unfortunately had it a few months ago, is where I had an accident in my car. Fortunately, nothing too serious. But that whole process of that, you know, that calling the insurer up at that moment of truth, as they say, where typically you'll never speak to them, you know, over a few years, but that one point where you need them, the most important point is the opportunity for an insurance company to shine. And you don't expect a bot to be at the end of it. You expect someone to speak to, understand the fact that you've had an accident, understand the fact that you want a courtesy car, was anyone injured? Yeah, that human interaction at that point is so important. It might not be as frequent, but it's important in terms of that holding that responsibility to the customer and building that engagement. And so I think, yeah, there are, each organization needs to be really reflective about what are those points, those human touch points, where they can really differentiate their organization.
Yeah, and, you know, we have this fascination for 100% bots taking over things and doing things completely. And then we have the fear that it will take over everything.
I don't know whether it's just us in terms of the wider industry with this, you know, this whole sort of, you know, wanting to automate things. I think now we've all spent enough time in industry. We've got enough of those use cases and we're working with organizations. It's funny now because we've had to automate to really realize the true potential value of human. Yeah, ultimately.
That's an interesting
thing. Have to do that.
Ask people who have automated a lot, like Elon Musk, you know, he's like, we over-automated at Tesla. So, you know, people like us, practitioners and automationists, we're doing it for some time. Most of them will tell you, you know, you should not be automating everything. But people who are starting out is all like, yeah, let's automate everything.
Yeah, but once again, you know, you need to understand where those high human value touch points are in an organization, and, you know, and support those people with the technology so they can make the right decisions. You know, once again, you know, we are moving to an interesting point in the almost now future where, given the data points, even to make a simple or relatively simple decision, you've got so many data points, the human brain capacity in an organization can't simply consume all those data points to have the right interaction with the customer, to suggest or talk about the right thing that's consistently the same no matter who you speak to. So once again, I think this is where automation technologies will come in, because it's about driving consistency, but helping humans to consume all those different data points so you are making the best decisions for your customers and for the organization.
Exactly. And to your point, you know, like decision intelligence, it's about augmenting people. And we are at a point where we are at so complex, you know, the businesses have become so complex that we do need that augmenting to make that decision.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was speaking to a large outsourced insurer in the US, funnily enough, and what they were saying is their underwriters, they used to typically underwrite about 9 approvals or underwrite 9 loans per day. And that had moved to about 3 or 4. And what's the reason for that? Well, the number of data points has significantly increased. So the underwriter now, to make an equally good decision, now needs to look at another 6 or 7 data sources. A credit report, as well as, you know, their feasibility to pay, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, you know, so that has actually eaten into productivity. So all this talk about data and trying to get as much data, I think now we're moving to a different transition point where the volume of data is there. How do we make the best decisions and consume the right data so we can support the people to make the right decision? I think once again, that's a narrative that I think we'll start seeing playing out in the market over the next few years.
Great. That's a great thought to end our podcast on. So Deepak, okay. If people need to find you and connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn is always fantastic to link with. So yeah, I'm more than happy for people to link and nudge me a message and reach out.
Okay, great. So I'll put your LinkedIn profile link on the podcast notes. So Deepak, yeah. Thank you so much for being with me today. This was a great chat.
Thank you, Nandan.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.